Okay, hey friends, I am recording both podcast and video right now, and yes, I'm sitting in a weird spot in my car. My hanger thing broke, my phone hanger thing broke, and so I'm putting it on something different here in the car. Why am I in the car at all? It's because I was freezing cold in the house, and I was going to fall asleep, and so I wanted to come outside and try to wake it up a little bit. Well, I came outside, and I sat in the car, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep working in the car. I woke up with a woman standing beside my car, and I'm like, so anyways, this is me here in the car with my weird angle. But what I want to do is talk to y'all about something I've been promising to talk about for a while, and this is based on the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, and this is breaking down this book per the biblical worldview, because this is not at all from a Bible angle. Of course, James Clear is not a Christian, so why would it be? And so we want to find out as we work through this, what part is going to be compatible with us as Christians and what part we should discard. And to do that, I have picked up Mama Bear Apologetics. For those of you who have never gotten this book, this is fantastic. It's easy to read and it's so much good information in here. Today, I'm going to be using mainly information out of chapter 5 that's written by T.C. Cannon. It's an accumulation of several different, or a compilation of several different Christian women authors who are fantastic. But TC is a dear friend of mine, super smart, precious friend, and she wrote this on self-helpism, and which is, of course, exactly what this book is that we're reading. So one of the things is that we have to do as we come in as Christians reading this book is decide if this is going to be valuable for our growth and the expansion of the kingdom of heaven. So what happened was initially is I began to read this book, or actually I did it audible. And by the way, I'm sweating now. It is hot in here now, so I'm going to turn on my hair a little bit. As I began to do it, I was doing an audible, just doing some cleaning around the house. And then I put it away and I said, hey, to my friends who were saying, we need to try to look through this book. I said, that's great. We'll do it. We'll do it from a biblical worldview though, because I think we need to pick through it. But there's some great things in here that are articulated well. And so sure, it's fine. Well, then I put it aside for quite a while after I did the audible, and I went through a series called Experiencing God. Many of you may have already experienced that yourselves, or heard of it at least. It's a fantastic process. It's long, but it really breaks down for you how you grow closer to the Holy Spirit, and not just to get what you want to get or to turn it to be your best you or whatever. It's really learning Him and learning the process of relationship with Him. And some say it's formulaic and where you're trying to get God to do something based on this formula that you use. It's not that at all, because what it does is it sets you up to be a person who learns how to wait on God no matter what He does. And so that was a really precious process for me. So then I come through that and I pick up the book again and I think, okay, let's dig in. Let's start, because we're going to start this class soon that we do. And by the way, it's on Monday nights at 6:30. If you are local and you're interested in joining us, please, please come on. We'd love to have you with us. And reach out to me for directions and all those fun things. But as I was getting ready for the class, then I pick it back up. And having experiencing God behind me then, I begin to see this is not at all what I thought it's being. And I don't, at no point do I want to cast out anybody's opinion on this. This is one thing that's great about this group. We have differing opinions on different parts of the book, and it's so wonderful to be a part of women where you're having proper conflict resolution and we're learning how to disagree with one another, and we have healthy relationships that way. Because one of the things that's happening and things that's keeping us from discipling those who don't know the Lord is we don't know how to disagree with them and just move on from the points that we don't agree about. And one thing we can't agree about across the board as those who know Jesus Christ is that there is no subjectivity to Him. He is true. He is real. He is full. He is perfect. He was, He is, He is to come. And so since we don't disagree about that, then we can move forward and say, take or leave some of these things. So anyways, I'm gonna give you a couple nuggets here to dig into. This, I'm gonna try to keep it about 15 minutes, both video, of course, we got on podcast. And for those of you who are not interested, girl, set it aside. It's fine. And maybe you'll come back to it later. But for some of you, this is gonna be important for you to hear, because this book right here, and I'm speaking of the Atomic Habits, we got to be careful what we're handing to the generation of women who come behind us, because don't we have to admit that self-sufficiency is a sin, and that's such a feels like such an old toxic word when we say it, but it's true. It's a sin, and we need to learn that depending on ourselves is a sin, and not only that, it is quite dangerous for us to get involved in, because it's prideful. And the Lord says, it says in Scripture that the Lord resists the proud. And that means He stands in direct opposition to them. And we don't want to put our women in position, our girls who are training up the next generation of girls. We don't want to train them how to be self-sufficient. We want to train them how to be desperately in need of Christ. So as we look at, you know, what's the definition of, and I've got several notes here, so I'm trying to figure it out. This is one note out of Mama Bear Apologetics. It says, according to self-helpism, I don't have to deny myself or repent of anything. I only have to find myself. And for Christ followers, it is the opposite. We don't truly live until we die. Die to selfish desires that exalt us against the wisdom, love, guidance, and righteousness of our makers. In other words, we live when we die. We are called to surrender all. I could just quote her all day long. Self-helpism has a very low view of just how big of a problem sin is. It diminishes, if not eliminates, the power and consequence of sin, waving sin away as mere bad habits or character defects rather than the soul-wounding, spiritual, and sometimes physical scar-creating force that sin is. Sin is toxic, it's dangerous, it's horrible. So what do we do with this? So the book, honestly, there are some great things in here, the Atomic Habits book, where we can make up our minds that, yeah, I'm going to habit stack. Yeah, I'm going to do some extra things in my life to become disciplined and so on and so forth. But y'all, I'm going to tell you something. This is relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because if we base things on ourselves, then we can't hear that still small voice telling us what to do. So on page 55 of Atomic Habits, I'm sorry, I want to make sure I'm saying which book I'm talking about. He says, every goal is doomed to fail if it goes against the grain of human nature. So this is exactly what I'm saying, the grain of human nature. So that means we are basing all of our success on our humanity. And I don't know about you, but I look back over the past 7 years, and y'all, I'm coming up on my overdose anniversary, and I look at the past 7 years and the way I've come from an obese, drug addict, porn addict, alcoholic, non-submissive, angry woman with tendencies that look like a narcissist, so selfish, to where I am now, and still with so many things that are wrong with me, but so free of a lot of that bondage and selfishness. I can't say I brought myself out of that. I didn't. There had to be a supernatural force that brought me forward. So if I were to rewrite that in a biblical worldview, it would say every goal based on human nature is doomed to fail. And so we recognize the type of thinking that James Clear is promoting is geared towards the glorification of humanity. And this is in the bracket of self-helpism, of course, New Ageism, deism or deification of the self, that means making yourself God, or giving aseity to humans. Aseity, it's A-E-S-I-T-Y. And this is, and I'm reading my notes here, the property or attribute that a being exists of and from itself, or that being does not depend on anything or anyone other than himself for his existence, his realization, his sustenance, and end. So we don't want that. This is the definition of God. He is aseity. This is an attribute of Him. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He in and of Himself is complete. And so how and when we ever come to this place to call ourselves or give ourselves aseity, then we struggle there. So then we have to depend on God's goals. And God's goals require His execution, His following through. And if we look at Matthew 22, 36 through 40, this is the greatest commandment, where God calls us to love Him and love others as we love ourselves. So we've got this greatest commandment. And it says, and the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So what does that mean? It means the entire law of all the prophets and all the prophets. I'm sorry, y'all. Let me start that again. Hang on. The entire law and all the prophecies from God are designed ultimately to motivate and enforce love for God and love for others. Everything else we ever think about God, believe about God, say to God, do or do for God must be motivated by His core impulse. That's out of BibleRef.com. So we must be motivated by Him, completely by Him. So then if we look at Matthew 28, which is this beautiful, the Great Commission. So we've had the greatest command. Now we're at the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them how to obey everything I have commanded. Not just how to become our best us, but to obey Him and everything He's commanded. And He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that's His execution right there. He's the one who's with you. He's for you. He's through you. He's working in you. I had a friend today, my sweet friend Lauren Tomlin. She told me about this beautiful analogy of how we can recognize the Holy Spirit in us. He's like a pitcher of water and a cup. He's the Holy Spirit's the pitcher of water. We're the cup. And when we come to know Christ, then that is the Holy Spirit with us. He is there. We're in His presence. And then when He begins to feed us, to work in us, then imagine that pitcher flowing into us. And then when He begins to work through us, then imagine that water flowing over and it's coming out and going out to others. So this is how the Holy Spirit moves in us. And until we begin to practice that communication with Him and have conversation with Him, then we're not going to be able to see the glory of the relationship with Him. We're simply going to hang out in self-sufficiency because we can't figure out. We've given Him no time to reveal Himself to us. And we have not gone through the stage where we're saying, what do I believe about Him? Do I believe Him to be real? And from that phase, making adjustments per His realness and not just our attitude or opinion. And so then we move into that space. Okay, so again, I'm not bringing up anything out of the Atomic Habits book because quite simply, I just don't want to put your mind there. My mentor, Diane Warner, she spoke into me and she said, Rachel, you know, this book is actually muddying the waters for women who are struggling already with self-sufficiency. So I can say there's a couple things in here that I could quote and say they're good things, but I really would just rather feed you scripture. Now, I promise you, as we continue forward, we've got several more sections of this book to go through. I'm going to work harder to actually quote the book and share with you and refute some of the information. But I'm telling you, y'all, there's Darwinism, there's materialism, again, New Ageism and self-helpism in here. There's so many isms that I just want to hang out with Jesus and let that be the thing. And I'm not trying to sound better than anybody right there. I'm not trying to sound like I'm on a high horse. I have a goal to protect you. I have lived such a long time in darkness that I would just rather, let's move over to the light and expose the darkness from this angle. That's what the scripture says. And then spend time talking about it. Ephesians is pretty clear on that. So anyways, to wrap it up, he's very driven toward, James Clear is very driven towards rewards being the end goal of every habit. And his goal, his reward, or the idea of his reward, are notably personal. It's the satisfaction of cravings and instruction on how to become better in the future. Again, just about self. And so I made a mistake and didn't pull out my Bible before. We'll talk on it. Where'd it go? Sorry. I'm all up in your face right here. So in 1 Corinthians 2, this is talking about the mind of Christ. And here we see Paul is coming into the beginning of this chapter saying, I don't come to you in fancy words, brilliance of speech, or wisdom. I decide to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not be based on human wisdom, or, as we saw this clear quote, on human nature, but on God's power. And that alone refutes probably 95% of this book. So it says, we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. That blows my mind. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have. So now that God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except his Spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who, excuse me, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. We get to have these conversations amongst one another. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it, since it's evaluated spiritually. So what do we do with that? Sisters, we stand up in Christ. We make up our minds that we are going to have good, strong conversation about God's Word, and we're going to share it amongst one another, so that then we can go out and teach those who consider this to be foolishness about His goodness, and so that they will no longer live in that mindset. What God has made us able to do is to think with the mind of Christ and to discuss the things of Christ, so that others will become children of the living God. Okay, I promise y'all I'm going to try to quote more of James Clear next time. But I tell you, between now and then, go look up Jeremiah 17:9, that talks about the heart is deceitful above all, and why we should guard it, and how we should try to guard it from slippery slopes like this. Shakespeare says, the Prince of Darkness is dressed like a gentleman. He's also dressed like a self-help book. So we should be careful. All right. God bless you, sweet friends. I can't wait to talk to you again. It's exciting, interesting stuff. Talk to you soon. Bye.